Hello, hello, good morning, everyone. The cancer culture and funny things. We're going to be talking about that this morning and a few other things. So stay tuned. It's 7 a.m. Hello, hello, good morning, everyone. John Henry Soto here. Welcome to 7 a.m. It is April 16th, 2021. And we are discussing, we will be discussing a few things on the current scene of humor in the world, or at least in some parts. And I'm very interested in this subject because I love comedians. I love stand-up comedians. I was sometimes my mom when I was a kid used to point out comedy clubs when we were in Manhattan. We lived in the Bronx, but if we ever went to Manhattan, I remember we were walking by Dangerfields one day, and she goes, "Look, John, that's where you go, where you begin to tell jokes and stuff." And I was always a funny guy, just telling jokes around the house, whatever. But my mom saw something else in me, and I think is where the actor thing came out of me and my music and stuff. But you know, I used to tell her, I was like, "Mom, I'm only 12 years old. I don't think they're gonna allow me in there." But she was always interested in that, and I made her laugh. I mean, I don't think there was anyone that I made laugh more than my mom, you know. She unfortunately passed away in 2009, damn cancer. But she's definitely my biggest fan as far as support and confidence, and just telling me that I can do it. And it was just a great environment to bring my thing to, my personality or whatever I thought of. She would just love it. And so, you know, it was one of those things where you know, when you're discussing humor or when you're discussing anything like that with somebody you care about or somebody who cares about you, sometimes humor can be a little bit covered up on their side. You know, they'll just humor you, or because they love you, they'll support you, you know. But my mom was really a tough person to make laugh. I mean, she loved certain comedians that I love, you know, Tim Conway, and we both loved what's his name? Oh my God, forgot his name now. I'll think of it in a second. Hey, Mary, good morning. Thank you for tuning in. Appreciate it. Martin Short. We both love Martin Short. I just read actually his book recently. Very funny, very insightful, knows everybody. You know, so we kind of had the same sense of humor, you know, but she just didn't laugh at everybody. So I know it was a little more sincere. And as I got older, it gave me the confidence that I had some funny things to say, and humor was just a big thing. I love stand-up comedians. I love Brian Regan. I love Jerry Seinfeld. I love Kevin Pollak. I love all these comedians and others, you know, just from growing up, Jim Carrey. And I love comedic actors, you know, like Robin Williams. Comedy has just been a really, really important part of my life growing up. Martin Short, that's right. Yeah. I love Martin Short. He's like literally one of my favorite people. He makes me laugh really hard. And George Carlin was amazing. Absolutely. I love George Carlin. And, you know, so, but if you think about George Carlin, that's a really good point, Mary, because we're living in this strange time right now where the cancer culture is canceling comedians and people for saying things that are really jokes. But I think Bill Burr is probably the best right now at it, without being canceled, because he's funny, you know. And So one of the things that we're going to talk about, just about a few things about what to do and what not to do. Of course, these are all my opinions, so anybody can disagree with all of this. I can be canceled too, which is fine. I never really think about the cancel culture as me being canceled, because the worst they can do is they can take you off. I'm on a couple of platforms here. They can take me off these platforms, but there's like so many other platforms coming on right now. I can always find a platform. My podcast is my podcast. I could always get on satellite radio. I could also, there's so many places that you can go on where you can get canceled. I mean, one of the people that started this whole thing was Howard Stern, right? Where he kind of created a format and a style and a way of communicating that shocked so many people, and he lost so many jobs, right? Because people couldn't take it, you know. But he always found a place, and he found a place now, and he's been kicking butt ever since and never looking back, you know. So I don't know this cancel culture thing. I think it's sort of a way for a certain group of people to hurt another group of people. Sensitivity has been way too high, and it's nonsense. It's actually really stupid to be so overly sensitive that you can't even, you know, I mean, when you can't take a joke. A lot of these jokes aren't even that offensive. I think people, again, you know, I remember, this is one of the first things that I remember watching All in the Family back in the 70s, right? And I really wasn't watching it when the show was out, because I was kind of young. I was not really that aware of it. But as I got older and in reruns, I started watching. And I remember when he said the Puerto Ricans on the air for the first time. You know, I never heard anybody mention Puerto Ricans on English television. And it was a joke. It was an insult on Puerto Ricans. You know, it was something about, he was talking to George Jefferson, and he says, and George Jefferson is like, "So you saying that we're on the bottom of the list?" And he's like, and Archie Bunker is like, no, you guys are on the bottom of the list. The Puerto Ricans are on the bottom of the list. Only they don't know it because they can't read the list. So I remember thinking, oh, wow, he said Puerto Ricans, even though it was insulting. I laughed so hard. In a way, I didn't feel insulted. You know, I know how to read English. You know, it was just, it was the viewpoint of a comedian, of an actor, of a character that felt that way. And that's what this is all about. It's about different viewpoints, right? One thing about cancel culture humor, though, I read an article recently. Folks need to get thicker skin. Oh, yes. Oh, RG. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the whole thick skin thing is just like, I don't know what these people have. They have like literally toilet paper skin, and it just, they cannot take any of it. They're just sitting there looking, waiting to, what a horrible place to live in. What a horrible place to wake up in the morning and to be in that space where all you're thinking about is you're trying to protect humanity from things that upset you, your opinion. Nobody really gives a crap about anybody's personal opinion, to be honest. Nobody gives a crap about me doing this. People come on here and they enjoy themselves being on here, and they comment. I appreciate all of you coming on and stuff and interacting with me. But to be honest with you, I'm doing this, and anybody has this opportunity to do them, you know? So it's really just a big nonsense. It's just garbage. But here's what the thing about cancel culture, and some comedians now are trying to address cancel culture in their comedy. And what I'm realizing is that the subject of cancel culture is not really funny, because it in itself is kind of a joke. So if you're trying to add other humor to it, you know, it really, I've heard like different types of comedians try to address the cancel culture, and it has not worked one bit. It's just not funny. It's much funnier when they're going at it and continuing with their normal humor and continuing with their normal jokes, and even if it rubs people the wrong way, it's just much better that way, you know. Let me get at them. Next time. I love your comedy side. You have me rolling. Thank you, Mary. I appreciate that. Thank you. So it's one of those things that it's just not funny to even really make fun of, right? I mean, everything I've said today about cancel culture is not really funny, right? You know, what's funny, it's probably when I was just saying that they have, toilet paper skin. It's probably the only thing, and that's not even that funny. So one of the things that happens is that we acknowledge it. You know, everyone acknowledges, everybody talks about it. We write posts and everybody says, oh, the cancel culture and this person got canceled. And those people didn't get canceled. I mean, unless they commit a really horrible crime, like unfortunately, like Bill Cosby and people like that that did things that were actually criminal, it's a different kind of thing, right? But because somebody said something, it's just because that network got a little bit of pressure from a few knuckleheads and there's some products involved there, and maybe there's some money, and then there's always money involved. And they got the pressure on them, so they had to do something to show that they're, vigilant on this new way of thinking, and we're trying to protect people from themselves, and that whole nonsense. So that's the only thing that happened. They didn't get canceled. They're fine. They lost one job. They're gonna go on to other jobs. I think of Louis C. What's his name? Louis C.K. Right? Louis C.K. He's fine. He's gonna be doing. He'll do comedy stuff. I don't really know the whole story of even what happened with that, but I think of Charlie Rose, who I've always loved on PBS and everything, get canceled for something. Matt Lauer on NBC, although he's a little bit of a knucklehead on some of the things I've heard him say and do. Things like that. Those people, I think that they're gonna go and they're gonna recover from this. Again, depending on each individual case, I don't know exactly what they did. If they did something that's completely illegal, they slipped up, they did something inappropriate, and they're probably really feel bad for those transgressions and are trying to figure out how to recover from that. You know what I mean? Can they go to another network? Probably, and that's probably what they'll do. They'll probably end up on some other network and come on and apologize, right? That's what what was her name? Ellen DeGeneres came back, right? She went away, and everybody realized, oh, she's like a really mean lady. Like, she's not really nice at all. And she tried to come back, and I don't know if, I don't even know if she's doing well or anything, but she's back. She came back and she apologized. Some people said the apology was half-ass, and she still blamed others, whatever. But she's a comedian. Her job was to make people laugh and to entertain people, you know what I mean? If she's behind the scenes, she's kind of a jerk. Well, then don't work there. Don't work there. You know what I mean? So she's got a toxic environment. Don't work there. Eventually, nobody's gonna work there. Then she's gonna lose her show anyway, right? So, it's like, why are you there if it's such a horrible, toxic environment and she's such a horrible person? Why are you still working there? Why is this a thing? You should just leave. But another thing is, the acknowledgement part of it. We acknowledge it, and it gets shared a lot. I'm doing this show right now, so I'm sort of acknowledging it myself, right? Now I'm acknowledging it because I want to actually get out there, and I want to just continue life. I want people to be able to laugh again. I want people to look at something objectively and say, well, that was funny, because there's some truth to it. Like when you another comedian that I can't remember his name right now, the famous Jewish comedian. I can't remember his name, but if anybody can remember his name, it's the famous Jew, really, really very Jewish comedian. And he told a joke about, he goes, I love the Puerto Rican people. He goes, I love the Puerto Rican people. Every year I go back to Puerto Rico just to visit my hubcaps. And I remember saying, laughing my ass at that. It was so freaking funny. Is there some truth to that? Yeah, I grew up in the Bronx, primarily Puerto Ricans and blacks, right? And who committed the crimes and stole hubcaps? A lot of Puerto Ricans. I'm sorry, I was there. I was in that environment. That's what I saw. It wasn't anyone else that came in and stole these things. That's who did it. I had my bike stolen from me a couple of times, a couple of bikes. Who stole my bike? It was a Puerto Rican and a black guy. They both stole stuff from me. That's the environment that we were living in, right? Is that racist that I'm saying it? No, that was where I was, you idiot. Anybody that says anything otherwise is just dumb. Or it's just not thinking, or it's just wanting to throw gasoline onto a small, tiny flame and wants to ignite it. And what happens is when you ignite, you know, you divide and conquer, right? You divide a people, you make them fight amongst themselves, and then you come in to save the day, right? And that's how it works. And the saving the day is the conquering. You divide them, and then you conquer them by coming in and saying, help is here. We are here to help. Help is on the way. Here's the help, you know? And then you conquer everyone. You put them in a really good place. And that is part of this whole thing, right? Another point that I wanted to make was that a lot of these people that are canceling people and that are upset and all that stuff, they're really, really unhappy people. You know, when you really look at them, they are unhappy. And they might, and that might be me just being a little bit general about it. But the ones that I've experienced, this is, again, my own viewpoint, my own experience, my own reality. What I've seen is that they are extremely unhappy people. That's just what I've seen. You can research that on your own. Get back to me. And as I mentioned earlier before about getting canceled, me personally, I can't get canceled. I can't get canceled. If I say something on here that people don't like, Facebook can knock me off. And they have. I've been thrown off of Facebook for 30 days. I've had 30-day prison, which I'm proud of. I think everyone should do their 30 days and get that, you know, it gives you hair on your chest, you know, makes you a man. But, you know, I came back and I changed a little bit of, I realized that the platform is just not for that. It's a one-sided platform. They have viewpoints gearing only to one side. And then I thought, oh, okay, well, if that's what they're doing, I'll just chill out on that. I won't go on that platform. I have like four other platforms that I can go off and say whatever I want to say. Not a problem. At all these platforms eventually are going to, the ones that are suppressing anybody from communicating, honestly, they're falling eventually. So, and that's fine. I'll just go somewhere else, right? And one of the things that I love about using humor to combat these cancerous canceling culture, the three C's, right? One of the things that you can do is use humor. And, you know, the most famous person that used humor against evil was Charlie Chaplin. So if you go back and you see what Charlie Chaplin did, he basically was mocking Hitler when he had the little, you know, the little mustache and making him this joke. And that's basically what he did. And he did it later at the film The Great Dictator, where it was he spoke and he gave that great famous speech that you hear, you know, that's always posted on YouTube. If you're not familiar with it, just type in, you know, Charlie Chaplin great speech and you'll see the speech. And it talks about basically exactly what I'm talking about right now. You know, it's about the powers that are controlling things, that are just suppressing any communication that they don't agree with. And because they have so much power, that's part of their control. And the only power that they have is that they have this medium, right? But there are other people with a tremendous amount of power that are putting together some great platforms that we're all going to be on, and it's going to be a much more free society to be able to communicate. Now, let me go back for a second. You know, I don't want people to think that I think it's okay to insult other people, right? That's not what I'm saying. When you insult someone, it's not okay. Should you be canceled for it? No, you shouldn't, because this is America and we do have freedom of speech here, and we kind of are into this constitution thing. You know, we kind of like it because it's gotten us this far in a very short amount of time. When you think about America, 140 something 50 years, but I'm 240 whatever years it is, in that amount of time we've become the superpower of the planet. Everyone knows what we're doing in the small amount of time, right? It's because of our platforms. It's because of where we built this. It's because of the Constitution, Declaration of Independence, our Bill of Rights. You know, if you read the Federalist Papers, right, by James Madison, you'd see where they were building this, why it was built, and how important it is. Now, were there problems back then? Yes, you know, there was slavery. There was you know, a lot of these men that wrote this had slaves, but they knew when they wrote this, they threw everyone in there, right? All men are created equal. All men are created. Men meaning mankind, meaning men and women, right? That's what the purpose of this was. And from that, things started getting cleaned up because of that foundation, right? And that is part of the power of the Constitution. And so when you start looking at people that are trying to tear it down, the First Amendment, right? The Second Amendment, the Third, when you start seeing that those, you have to understand that they're doing it to try to protect us from ourselves, which is part of the reason why the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence was written. It was because of protecting the people from the government, from tyranny. You know, that is part of the reasons why it was actually conceived. It was so we can be protected from those knuckleheads, right? But what they're doing is they're coming in to protect us, and that is the biggest danger. And protecting us from cancer culture, protecting us from ourselves because of what we've said, protecting sensitive people with toilet paper skin on what they've witnessed is nonsense. It's not going to go far. It's gone already far enough, and I think people are sick of it. People are definitely sick of it. I'm seeing it in social media. The jokes against these people are just ridiculous. When I watch any political comments at the bottom, you know, any comments, I'd say 99% of those are against this whole nonsense, which amazes me that nobody's seeing how, if you're on this side, you can go read those comments yourself. You're going to be like, well, why is everybody against me? No, it's not against you. You've just got the wrong idea. You got the wrong viewpoint. Just look at what's being said and what's being done. Look at the big picture, you know. And I think that's part of what I want to communicate, is not that insulting people is a good thing, but that being allowed to communicate, whether you're a jerk or not, that should be allowed. You know, not everyone's going to agree with everything you said, but you should have the right to say it. And that is my biggest concern on this whole cancer culture, is that we're being stripped away of our independence to communicate freely and to express ourselves. And when you can't express yourself, your thoughts, that goes into creativity, and then your art becomes suffered. You can't write a good film script because you don't want to insult anybody in your film. So it's not a sincere piece of art that you wanted to write. It is something else. It's something manufactured by this whole nonsense that's going out there. So we need to get back to communicating exactly what we want to communicate, write what we want to write, and feel like someone is hearing it. Not everyone's going to agree with you, and that's totally fine. And if you don't agree with somebody, that's totally fine too. Just say, like, I don't agree with that, but leave it at that. That is where, as far as it should go. You can disconnect from the person if you really felt that, oh, they really hurt my feelings, I'm actually injured. You can just leave, and that's where it should go, and that's where we all should go. All right. Insults are just a result of how one feels about themselves, so they have to make others feel the same way. Ah, that's very good point. Good point, Mary. I like that. I'm getting to where I can't stand politics. Yeah, I know. That's been that way ever since. If you go back and read newspapers from 100 years ago, you'd be like, they're doing the same thing. I just read a whole thing where they lied, and some the publishers, the editors, put out articles that were lies to kind of hurt the other. It was just, I just read this recently, and it happened like 120 years ago or something. So that's been the whole fake news thing has been going on for a very long time. All right, folks, I want to thank you all for tuning in. I appreciate you all. If I am canceled, I just want to say I love you all. But please, you can always visit johnhenrysoto.com. And if that gets taken out, I do have John Henry Soto on crypto. If you don't know what that means, I have my domain saved. To explain it, I'll do a show on that one day. But my name, John Henry Soto, is secure on the internet for eternity. So until the internet crashes or until the planet finally crashes into the sun, whatever happens. But the name John Henry Soto can always be found via the internet, no matter what platform I'm on. So I want to thank you all for tuning in. Make today great. Have a wonderful weekend ahead. I will see you all on Monday morning. Do the things that you love this weekend, and take care of yourselves. And as always, peace.